This is Due by Friday, the weekly challenge podcast with Alex Cox and Merlin Mann. This week's challenge, eat hand salad. Merlin's finishing a tweet. So we are delayed by Merlin finishing a tweet. I have delayed us by breaking my foot in two places. Merlin has put on a delay. Put on a delay? What does that even make sense? Put on a delay. Oh, I guess you could put like a sound on a delay. That makes sense. That's what the Oscars do in case, you know, someone slaps somebody.
It's Due by Friday.
Hey, sorry, I was finishing a tweet. I missed your call.
It's good to hear from you. How are you?
I have been better, Merlin Mann. May I tell you a tale? And it'll almost be linear.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, how would you, as your friend, how would you like me to respond? What do you and your caregivers think would be the healthiest response? I mean, my gut is sure.
Okay. All right.
Did I just agree to any extraordinary terms? Oh, almost
no,
linear.
No.
Okay. Makes note.
As I mentioned, I planned to be a dob this week, the worldwide developer conference for the beloved Apple Inc. But before that, I had to stop in Utah to go to my brother's wedding. And
people criticize me for interrupting, which is entirely fair. But there's a really dark part. And you wonder why I do that. How's Merlin so selfish that he always interrupts? Couldn't the show be slower and less interesting if you just let people talk? Yeah. In this one, I just want to let you know, I'm sorely tempted to just let you talk. And then we'll see who the smart guy is. Alex, were you planning to go to Dob?
Okay,
Dob.
So I was planning to go to Dob, but the week before Dob, I was lucky enough to see my brother get married. Well, married for the second time because I got married.
You're seeing it for the second time, or he's getting married the second time. Sorry, I interrupted you. I know what you meant.
The first time I saw it on Instagram, the second time. And then after my brother and sister
marry me once.
Wedding,
marry me once, shame on me. Marry me twice, shame on you.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry. Why aren't you dob?
I had such I had such a beautiful time at this wedding that I even texted you, I will be furious if you do not come to my second wedding, which is probably going to happen in 2024 because we technically eloped, but no, this story is supposed to be linear. It's your fault. Anyway, as I am leaving this beautiful wedding.
Just so we're clear, the previous text I got from you was 2 days before that with absolutely no context at all on Sunday at 12:30 p.m. In the time zone of our Lord Pacific. Merlin, if you don't come to my second wedding, we will be broken up for at least a week. The second one still to Matt, but still.
Yeah.
And I don't think I responded.
No, as you should.
Maybe this is just going to be my new response.
How would one
it's
respond
my new response. You ready?
Yeah, no.
Sure.
No, I honestly, I expected like an, oh, you. Or, okay.
Do you come with the wedding?
Okay, so about an hour, almost exactly an hour after I sent you that text, I am leaving a beautiful wedding and walking in not quite heels.
Did they throw birdseed? Birdseed or rice?
No.
We don't throw rice, right?
Stupid. No, I don't know. I have no idea.
Is that considered transphobic when you throw rice? It's racist. Against birds. Against birds.
I'm so not racist. I did not understand that joke.
I don't see species.
Oh, boy. Well, and walking to a car, and I know we don't use cars anymore, but it's Utah. There's a lot of hills, and I just tripped on these very girly sandals I was wearing because I insisted, no, I will wear a dress to this wedding because I don't want to be, like, we didn't want to be the trans couple. So I was like, you know, it's just easier. I will wear a dress. But the mistake, which was fine, but the mistake I made was wearing girly shoes, because as I'm leaving the wedding, I trip and fall, and I broke my foot in two places.
Well, I remember when, like, maybe it was in health class. No, I guess it would be in bio in, like, whatever, 10th grade, but learning about how many bones there are in the hand. And how many bones there are in the feet. It really freaked me out. I mean, it's not like thought about it. I understand that in order to be a hand, right, to have the aspect, I don't want to be ableist, but in order to have the useful performance capabilities of a hand, you think about it for half a second. There's got to be so many bones. There's so much fucking shit in your hands and feet that can break, and you never think about it until you think about it. If you got bones? I mean, aren't there, like, a redonkulous number of bones in your hands and feet? And then there's all the little sinews and muscles and nerves and all the things. There's so much shit you can do to fuck up your hands and your feet that will have a huge impact on your life. Think about Waymond. The three cuts he could do. The fourth cut. That is maybe one of the most difficult scenes in the movie. Because your hands are eyes, feet, and hands. But I'm telling you, as a man of my age, the smallest, like, I can't even tell what's wrong with a part of my ankle or foot, except that I know I'm fucked. And you managed to, just on your own, with your own body, break it. I really don't want the super details of it, but was it pretty, did it hurt a lot?
No, that's the problem.
Really? Was one of them a toe? Because a toe break easy.
Yes.
So you got a toe break, and what was the, if you can say, upset?
I was like, oh, I got up, and I'm like, oh, it's fine. And I did text you and your family. I'm like, haha, look at my Apple Watch has told me I've fallen again. That's funny.
I didn't get that. You didn't send that to me.
Oh, it didn't? Okay. And I was like, oh, cute. I had a fall alert. And then I'm like, huh.
I saw it on the internet the next day.
And then I apologize. I don't deserve your loyalty. I can afford
it.
Are you
sure
you're
talking to the same me?
Oh gosh, who knows anymore?
Was I in your dinette area at the time?
Okay.
Did you look down the hall and I was sitting there waving? Hi, Alex.
This is supposed to be linear.
It's your story.
Oh boy.
It's your story. I'm just trying to paddle through it in a canoe. What? Why is the water spaghetti sauce? Let me stand in my sauce.
Oh, no. I take it back. I didn't fall. I did not trip and fall.
Okay.
A 50-something man came up and pushed me and then ran away. That is what happened.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it happened again.
It happened again.
Were you standing in a fucking doorway? Happening.
Yeah, I was.
Was it preceded by someone saying, "Excuse me, could I please get by you?" And then you didn't move before he didn't actually push you.
For some reason, he was carrying a suitcase. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I was in a doorway.
He seems like the kind of person who could really afford to behave badly in public.
Yeah.
It seems like a thing he probably does a lot. And then everybody who knows him would say, he's definitely the guy who does shit like that all the time,
like,
because he knows he can afford to do it in public.
Oh, my God. Oh, and
Andy
and
Garcia
so then,
was very rude to me at a Lakers game. Yes, I remember that. Okay, so.
So after my fall, I'm like, huh, that's funny. And I just got up and walked to the car. And my spouse, Matthew, of course, is freaking out because my foot looks a little weird, but it's not swollen or bruised. So I'm like, it's probably fine. We go back to our hotel.
Is there any chance you think you might have been in a little bit of shock? Probably not.
What had happened was, or at least according to the orthopedic surgeon, was like, you probably were on a mix of like
acute shock, which is like you don't even really notice it, and adrenaline because it, I was at a beautiful wedding and I was really happy. So I was literally too happy to notice, apparently, the pain in my foot. And we go back to the hotel, and about an hour later, I'm like, huh, maybe, you know what, Matt, can you give me like a foot brace or something?
Oh my gosh, really? You,
yeah.
Oh, so you returned to civilian life. It wasn't like you got treatment there.
Right away.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
No, no.
Oh, so you really were like more okay with it than you should have been, probably.
No,
I don't mean in terms of your decision making, but in terms of the effect. Well, I mean, if you're in enough, well, first of all, if you're not conscious, you should probably go to a hospital or similar.
Yes.
But if you're like, if you hurt a lot, well, sure. Like even I would want to go to a hospital, and I don't go to doctors. But if you don't feel hurt and maybe if you're a little, I know. You know, again, I always think of Mark on COVID, but like, I always feel very self-conscious. I don't like being the center of attention for that particular reason. I'm like, I'm fine. Don't worry about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
which is one reason I've stopped eating, marijuana brownies, because I don't want to wake up with yet another woman screaming in my face at 3 a.m. Your eyebrow's bleeding. Never eat marijuana brownies a third time ever.
No.
You know what I'm saying now? Like, so you had, there wasn't enough pain that made you want to do that. Were you being encouraged? I'm sorry. You said Matt was, quote, freaking out. And did Matt want you to go to an ER or ED, as they say?
Initially, but again, no bruising or swelling whatsoever. So he's like, oh, okay, that's fine. Let's just get you a brace. And then I'm like, huh. It's kind of starting to hurt. Should I like get a cane? And he's like, yeah, sure. Why not?
This is basically an analogy for every American's life. It's like, you know, if you think about it, it's like, you know, you're hurt. You know. No. But I mean, just in the sense of like, I'm just going to go find some way to prop this up since I refuse to get actual help.
Yes.
And if I could get actual help, I wouldn't be able to afford it. I'll just drive my Uber like this till I die.
Well, then I decided.
Apart from that, how'd you enjoy the wedding? Okay.
As my lovely spouse is picking up some supplies, I decided to Google like my insurance.
Decided to treat my break with Walgreens.
No. I was like, you know what? I should see
your ace bandages, ma'am.
Yes. I was like, all right, I should. You know what? Does my insurance cover emergency visits in other states?
I wish I could give you mine.
The answer is no.
I wish I could give you my insurance and my spouse.
Oh,
they're the ones who are really
God,
in love with
both
each other.
Lovely. patreon.com/dubyfriday.
Dubai Friday.
I have insurance. It does not cover out-of-state emergency rooms.
Couldn't you hold up your finger like a fake mustache and say, hey, I'm totally Mormon?
Hello.
I would like to give my testimony about a revelation. The Heavenly Father broke my foot.
I don't celebrate Christmas, do you?
I'm Andrew Garfield. Okay.
Oh, but Matthew comes back with, honestly, a boss-ass looking cane. And I was like, ooh, I want to try this.
Do you know how lucky you are with Matthew? Do you really have any idea?
Oh, my God. No.
Do you know, like, I have any idea what Matthew does behind the scenes? I know me making a reference to Hong Kong Fooey is not going to make a lot of sense. But he was a dog who did Kung Fu. And he had a cat that actually did all the work for him. And he never realized it. He thought he was a superhero. He's played by Scatman Crothers. And he said, the Hong Kong Book of Kung Fu. And I don't mean to be racist, but that's how Scatman Crothers talked. And then, but it would turn out behind the scenes, his cat was always the one that was like putting the net under the window and stuff. And he never realized it.
Well, that's the thing is, I am trying to realize.
What I'm asking is, does Matt do that for me too? Or could he? Hey, we can become a throuple. Oh my God. No. I haven't ejaculated since 1988. Don't worry.
Oh, God.
But here's what I'm saying. No, I mean, I haven't even tried.
Wow, it must have been really difficult to make a kid. Only lesbians are supposed to use a turkey baster. That's
well, it depends
silly
how hungry you
power
are.
I'm I was like, I'm gonna try this like very cool looking cane.
don't eat the turkey baster. Don't eat the baste. Oh no, that's a no good, boss. Oh, that's my baste. That is a sitcom I would only watch one episode of. If they have little mix-ups, like little IVF mix-ups every week. Has anybody seen my baste? Ah! Hey man, I'm making a mixtape.
Oh,
that was Devin, and he's dead now. How will I refill my baster? It's done, man. Sorry about that. You should really label these things with Sharpie. We throw out all the semen every Friday.
All right, and turns out I go and you use the cane, and I googled how to do it so I would not break something else, but unfortunately put a tiny bit of pressure on my foot, completely collapse. I could not, like, I have never experienced that much pain in my life.
It's a feeling that, like, as an adult is so, it's such a familiar feeling. Actually, there's a joke about this on The Tick where I love The Tick. Tick gets thrown through a window and is falling on down a building. I'm talking about that peculiar feeling of falling. And it's like, you know that feeling of like, oh no, not dissimilar from like the tunnel vision of passing out, which you say you haven't had, but similar thing where you're like, oh no, something has Jenga'd out from underneath me. And now I will be going all the way down, and I've had enough time to realize it.
Yes, this is the first time I've had the tunnel vision. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, doesn't it suck?
It was not pleasant.
And it's a lot closer to being the vision of a tunnel than you might guess. There's so much shit when we have analogies about that, but it is really suddenly like somebody has opened. What do you call it? Not a telescope? Like, what's the thing the pirates look
like
through?
A wormhole. Well, for me, it felt like a wormhole.
But like somebody opened a very long telescope in a hallway, just doesn't reverse dolly zoom.
And it was fucked up because I was in a hotel hallway. So it was like some Shining shit.
Oh,
like,
you had some Inception shit going on. Oh,
yes.
Man.
Oh, man. Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Elliot Page showed up and they were like, hello.
And the creepy twins. Come play with us, Alex, forever and ever. Do not go in room 237 because I left my baster there.
Oh, that is a very disgusting joke, but I don't know if people. Oh God, that was so. Oh man, I don't want to body shame that.
Did my kid send me the photo of the guy who bought the dog suit? Have you seen the dog suit?
No, your kid is too cool for me. As is correct.
No, I think you guys are each becoming more scared and antisocial about the other. I'm gonna write down dog suit.
As everybody in the man family gets cooler, I'm just all like right. Nope.
Okay, so anyway, you got to room 237.
Tunnel vision.
Oh yeah, that tunnels. Right. And did you lost consciousness when you went down?
No, I did not. Oh. It was, and then I was like, Matt, emergency room. Like, yep. And so about 2 hours later at a very, very nice emergency room, I saw an x-ray of my foot that was very upsetting.
I don't want to see that.
No, that was something that I'm like, not even I will put that on the internet because ow. I still have to be on the good painkillers that I'm terrified of because of the series Dope Sick. Sure help. okay, fine. We're gonna go in a bit of a not linear place. I've only, again, the weird high pain tolerance thing is very much like a double-sided sword. Yeah, that's the metaphor. But this is the first time that I feel like I've actually needed them. So it's not, I don't even get to feel high. I get to just sound like a dummy. Well, more so than usual.
No, I know what
But yeah, not a fan of opiates. But at the hospital.
I've heard people talk about this. I don't know. I mean, people always say like, oh, you know, like a character in a movie who's a druggy person will be like, oh, I'm like more into uppers than downers, or I'm more into like, you know, downers and uppers or whatever. And like, I definitely am a person who's not into downers or whatever. What that whole, I mean, when I say downers, I don't mean a specific, hello, may I please have a downer? I mean, any of the things like, I'll just, in the whole class of, I'm probably making a false binary here. But when you think about people who take things, there's the stuff that makes you a little bit hopped up and energetic, and there's the stuff that kind of smooths you out. And I think of the second group as being your opiates, opioids, you know, things in, back in the day like Valium or what's the one in Wolf of Wall Street? Everybody used to take Quaaludes.
Yeah.
Right? Like all of those. Boy, this is so easy for me to describe personally. Why would you want to take Adderall or ephedrine or whatever? And I can tell you, if I take those and I don't take too much, too little I can live with, but too, and it's not too much, it makes me feel a lot more like myself. If I take the opposite of that, if I take the dope sick things, it makes me feel a way lot less like myself. And yeah, whether you like me or not is real, not you. If the, you know, the person listening, it doesn't like me, it's not so much my concern. It matters to me though. I don't like spending any amount of time feeling over much like not myself. Do you know what I'm saying? Which is why, which is why I've been so like, Alex, are you sure you want to make these, all these jokes about taking acid? Because if you, if you're, if one's, let's just say, let me just put a punctuation mark on last week's episode. If you're not really sure what you're in for, with drugs, and boy, it's really useful to know what you're in for. If you, if one, not Alex, but if one does not know what they're in for and just goes and fucks around and finds out, you may be in some cases, I'm not trying to be scary. I'm not trying to FUD people. I'm not trying to say, even say no to drugs, but like, unless you are prepared for 12 hours of being extremely not yourself, like in a European independent film torture sort of way, it's supremely not fun. And there's some pretty dark rooms you didn't even know existed until your drug experience goes bad. Again, I'm not trying to make this an episode of Dragnet. I'm just saying it's not, it's not like taking, it's not like having an extra glass of wine and then going to sleep later.
No,
it's
no,
real
no.
Bad. So that's why, but I mean, like, I think that's, isn't that, couldn't that be, I mean, like, you know, I'm always pulling this out whenever I feel like my advice or my, as I say, my testimony is I often wonder, is it because I feel like I haven't really made a point and so I go emotional and like, you know, like I do sometimes to try and like figure out how to end something. And I talk a lot, you'll hear me say from time to time about how I like the, I like, here's the thing I feel positively about, because it helps me be more of who I want to be. And like, not who I am, like really who I want to be. And when I'm doing this a lot, and why, when a man gets angry, you know, really encourage him to interrogate whether it's because he's not who he wants to be right now. It's really a big thing with guys. You really got to ask yourself, who are you really, you know, like the wonderful actress in The Gilded Age. I don't hate you. I hate my life.
Oh, yes.
And I really do think, first of all, I want to stipulate that for most men, I won't say anger is the default emotion, but anger is the default result, or the default resultant emotion.
Huh.
Well, I mean, I think, again, not to be all binary here, but I think people who are not men, whatever they are, tend to have much more, tend to have, I'll just say at least, more complex toolboxes of reactions to things. Sometimes for better, sometimes for worse, right? Like Elaine Bennett says,
yes,
like we just make fun of them until they get an eating disorder. Like that, I'm not saying non-men are necessarily better, although they certainly are, but men, when men get, well, whether all the seven dwarfs of bad emotion, right? Whether that it's like you feel, let's talk about the stuff, right? Let's talk about the stuff of my fellow hosts. Like you feel left out, you feel looked over, you feel not appreciated, you feel humiliated, you feel sad, you feel alone. Isn't it amazing that in men, all of these very different but admittedly associated seven dwarfs of bad emotion, that almost all of the way I feel, the B of this adds to this, ends in the C of now I'm so fucking angry.
Okay.
Isn't it wild?
Yes.
that is such, and I'm not saying there aren't non-men who haven't or don't do that. I'm just saying that like for men, we have not been broadly discouraged from making that the way that we end up, because we have our reasons. Well, God damn it, man. Why are you so fucking mad? Because I'm the father of a daughter. oh, mm-hmm. you know, why are you so fucking mad? Because I really believe in human rights. Or what? And you're like, are you sure you just don't feel alone or sad or overlooked or mad that somebody didn't star your tweet?
Well, that's the issue with the binary is I do think it is oversimplified when we think that men just default to anger. But like it is the easiest, and the default for women is fear. Like those are just
oh, shit, dog. That's so true. But do you honestly think that men, there's a difference in the amount that gendered men, gender women end up at? Oh, you know what, though? Because then you got the Rebecca Solnit part, and that's absolutely true. It's just that men are not only allowed but are encouraged to express and operationalize their anger. Whereas, as the great Rebecca Solnit's book tells us, with women, it's not really quite that simple. No, no, no.
Right.
You could be disappointed, and that can make you mad, but I never better notice you. Even if you get mad at me in a dream, you better apologize. That kind of shit, right?
Okay, this is we're going to go back in time actually now to this non-linear story. Thursday,
what happened?
Okay, Thursday.
Why'd you cut me off? What?
This because what we're saying is very relevant to no. I can't actually
hear it at all.
But I this was my first flight since 2019, and on Thursday when I left for Utah, and as a lot of people have been experiencing, our flight was canceled for no reason other than I guess not enough staff showed up, and it's really interesting to watch like the stages of grief when people know that a flight has been canceled.
If Kubler-Ross had traveled more, it would have been a real different book.
Whenever...
now I've entered stage three begging. I'm so close. I just need one connecting flight and I'll be home. Could you have a daughter?
Well, so after the flight is canceled, there's the loud groan of everybody in line. It was literally like right as we are about to board. And this poor, I don't know, like a like gate attendant or whatever they're called. She's like, please don't yell at me. I'm just the messenger. The fact that she had to say that broke my heart into a million pieces. And I understand.
And talk about a chicken problem. It's not going to save her, unfortunately. Think about all the jobs like TSA. I always say TSA would be the worst job for me. Not for any reason apart from it is my existential nightmare of no matter how many times you say the thing that is your job over and over. Mm-hmm. Every couple minutes, at least, there's going to be somebody who didn't hear it. Wasn't trying to be a jerk, but it's the worst customer service job in the world, where it's literally impossible that everybody will remember that they got to take their water out and throw it away. And like, how do you stay who you want to be in that job? How are you not yelling at people for no reason all the time?
That's the thing is, I also understand because as you know, all of these airport employees are like, all right, I'm going to take half of you over here. We're going to figure it out. We're going to reschedule you. Half of you, you know, go over here. And of course they say there's no flights available for that day. And oh man, there were a lot of college kids going, like flying to their college orientations. And that was really hard to watch. Like these like teenagers being like as really polite and just like crying a lot of young women crying and young men yelling. And that I was like, wow, that is, I wasn't making any judgment, but like we are really trained to socialize that way because I assume at least they were having the same emotion, but with a similar reaction, but with the opposite.
And when you get desperate, reaction. When you get desperate, you find, I don't know, I can't say it's just when you get desperate. Like if you're an effective person who knows how to get things accomplished, I wish I were. But like, I feel like I don't do extraordinary shit like that most of the time, I don't think. But it is at the point when you feel like you've run out of tools you're good at that you do either like a default thing or some crazy shit. So it could be, oh my God, I'm going to cry. Well, why is that woman crying at the desk? Because it might help. Now, she didn't go up there to cry, But maybe there's some part of her lizard. Well, okay, could be, but I'm just saying. No.
There's another part of the story where I was a baddie. Well, maybe a goodie. I don't know. But you're right. Yeah.
Well, that's the second kind. The first kind is my lizard brain has me doing this. And maybe I'll bet there are dimes to donuts. And forgive me, I hate to be witness for the prosecution here. But, you know, there's a lot of fucking guys whose default reaction and non-default and every kind of reaction is to fucking go nuts, act like there's an implication of violence, and get really angry. And let's just be clear here. When we say anger, like when we're talking about demonstrable anger, let's you know, strap a couple other ideas to that. Anger also really implies the threat of violence. Even if not violence, anger represents the threat of chaos or being out of control. And so very few people want more chaos and out of control in their day.
Unless they're the one causing it. But I don't think...
The crying woman is causing the chaos?
No. I don't think the people who are, you know, having that vague threatening aura don't usually know that they're doing it. And that is...
Of course. No, they absolutely don't. That's their lizard brain.
Yeah, and which is...
And everything their entire life. Well, I mean, you know, again, if you're raised as a man, before the last generation or so at least, this is in like one of the very first episodes of Rectifs. Like, being bullied in school was considered to be part of the education.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, if you weren't such a, and I'm going to use a nicer word than they did, if you didn't behave like such a queer, you would not be getting your ass kicked all the time.
Yep.
You need, the whole purpose of this gym class is to make you embarrassed about your body and to understand how the ape order works. That is why these gym class is just the most, like, you know, kind of on the nose example. But there's ample examples of, like, of the vice principal, you know, basically letting this thing slide because they like the bully more than you. They respect the bully more than you. Like, they have to deal with the bully. You think that, let me put it this way, that vice principal, you think they want to talk to the bully's parents about this again? Because they're probably, that bully's dad is probably really nice.
Yeah, they'll probably really want to get on that Zoom call to talk about
it. It's bullying all the way down. But that's what they needed us to internalize. I mean, the bullying is it's a feature, not a bug.
Yes. And the whole stereotype and like cliche of locker room talk goes both. A women's locker room.
You mean
room.
Like the undermining stuff and like, oh, I think I could see her having her period. Oh my God, did you hear that you could see her having your period? Like that kind of like way of like humiliating and isolating another girl.
Well, yes, but like I'm also talking about like men like Trump grabbing a pussy. That's just locker room talk. Boys will be boys, and oh yeah, girls will be girls. God, the locker room of just it's. I've never been in like a carry situation where someone's throwing tampons, but wow. Looking back at like middle school,
Alex, plug it up. Plug it up. Are you talking more about like more explicit sex talk or just more when you say, I'm trying to follow what you mean by AGAB, assigned girl at birth locker room talk? What is the distinction? Cruelty. The similarities to cruelty.
The cruelty is you.
The cruelty and the sort of almost like the violence with men. I think part of the thing of locker room talk. And I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm being such a woke philosopher today. But, you know, you listen to what Trump said to that little man on the bus that was captured on tape. And it's a part about sex. It's partly about, you know, fake sexual boasting. But it's also about the whole point of what the man says is when you're a star, they let you do anything. Which is his way of saying, I can make women do what I want because they know who I am. I can sex on anybody, whether they're into it or not. They let you do it, which is another way of saying, I'm allowed to control someone with violence because there's nothing they can do about it. If you keep running that through your prospector, you know, screens until you get, you know, down to the dust, what you're going to end up with, I'm allowed to be violent with women and no one can stop me.
Mm-hmm. It is the bravado of, like, literally, like, in a locker room of, like, yes, I am the one who has control. But in a women's locker room, it is, there's a similar thing where it's like, okay, I am this girl who is going to act like I like my body and I have control over how I feel about my body. And I'm going to be like, okay, yes, I've got, does this like make sense? Like, yeah, I am going to have the bravado of like, I know that I am a hot girl when really you don't.
Well, and can I run that through my prospector screens
please,
for a minute?
Please.
As this, I realized fairly early on that, you know, I don't know. I think that saying things to people and listening to people. And I think all of these bullshit things that we talk about are way overrated. People say so much more to each other about what they do than about what they have a speech about. Mm-hmm. You know, I've really, and I want to dissuade all the people in my life from trying to have meaningful speeches with their kids. Because I think, especially after a certain age, but my God, thankfully after a certain age, thank God, your kid is no longer subject to somebody acting like an authority they can force the child to listen to what they did and then promise to do it.
Yeah.
You know what? Consider that a valuable thing. If your kid has the stones or the lady stones or the person stones to say, fuck you to that vice principal, there's ways in which I super respect that a lot more than, well, here, let me go check you for crabs.
Yeah.
Like the ability, seriously.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, that's totally. Because
why? Because authority is always exercised in the most reasonable and safe possible way. Mm-hmm. Like, but anyhow, you can't tell a kid this, Alex. I couldn't hear this. I imagine you couldn't hear this.
Oh,
I
hell
know,
no.
I don't even bother. Well, but here's what I'm going to tell you. What I've wanted to say to my kid, I've probably said this, but not really. But seriously, you guys, stop doing the meaningful look into their eyes talk with kids. It freaks them out and it doesn't help. Stop. Why don't you listen to them more than you tell them what to do? Just shut the fuck up. Okay. But here's the thing. Look, if I were going to do that and I was going to hold the tiny little ravioli-sized hands of a child, I would say to them, look, I know, I'm going to tell you something that's like next to me saying you've always been able to fly. This is going to be maybe the most unbelievable thing I've ever said to you. Those kids, those fucking assholes at your school and in the world are probably a lot more scared about life than you are. Like you're scared of the bully, but the bully's scared of fucking everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that to excuse what they're doing. All I can say is look for evidence that that might be the case. Look for evidence that the girl who seems most confident in her body, the person, wouldn't you have to be supremely confident in yourself, in your body? Wouldn't you have to be like the uber feminist in order to like make fun of everybody else's body?
Yep.
Wouldn't you have to love your body a lot?
No.
Huh. I mean, it seems like that, mm-hmm. but could I give you a reframe on that? Could it be that maybe A, they're not all that comfortable about their body. Oh, great insight, Dad. But could it also be that, maybe they do or don't like their body? Maybe it doesn't matter if they like their body, but they know you hate yours.
Yep.
And that's what matters. So, and this is the whole thing of the whole, like, both sides-ism of, like, on the one hand, like, oh, you know, everybody's got a political axe to grind. Or on the other hand, oh, you know, these people are right and these people are wrong. Well, what if you're dealing with a fucking troll terrorist, and you're going to try and good faith them into being nice to you? What if somebody is only there dealing with you because they like fucking with you? What if their whole deal, for whatever reason, is just fucking with you? And the more you let yourself be fucked with or respond in a way that encourages them to build larger and larger posses of troll terrorists. isn't that what we're really talking about, dude?
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever your cab is or whatever your AB is, you will at some point between wherever we pick up a cab, wherever you want.
Yes.
But somewhere between fourth and ninth grade, you will find yourself, even if it's not really who you are, let alone who you want to be, at some point, at least once between fourth and ninth grade, you're going to wish so much that you could be loved by the person, by the bully.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
you're going to, not, it doesn't have to be your bully, but you're going to want to be with, you know, with the shit, what are they called? Regina and their group, the Mean Girls.
Yeah, yes, like, yes.
What are they called?
The
Plastics.
Thank you. Yes.
You're going to really, the Plastics, because you are so scared of them. Or like, fuck, go back to the same movie a few years earlier. Go back to Heathers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, even Martha Dumbtruck would want to be loved by the Heathers.
Yep.
I'm going to call you that from now on. That's your name now. Your new name is Martha Dumbtruck. Is there such a thing as a lesbian pole dancer? I shouldn't ask. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Martha Dumbtruck. And somebody comes out and plays some very sensible folk music. Well, Martha just stomps in one place and adjusts her keys.
I picture her like taking a single key off and like, another key.
Oh, key stripper.
Key, exactly.
But like, instead of popping balloons, they take keys off their room.
Yes.
Oh, she's down to 11.
Oh, she's taking that Patagonia off.
Take off that 11th key. Oh, God. I bet your underwear is big.
As I am in
Plastics, Martha Dumbtruck.
I am Martha Dumbtruck now in this airport situation where a flight has been canceled.
You're so good at getting back to the story. What are you taking new medication? What's going on?
I mean,
you've never done this ever before. You've come back to the story three times as if you remember where you started.
So hard. Well, remember?
Did you write it? You wrote it down. You wrote it down.
No.
Didn't you?
Oh no. Every time forcing jokes out of the room. Every time I've tried to prepare for the show, it's been a disaster. And on other shows, I do like actually prepare. And
I think we always prepare for the wrong parts.
Yes. You know what I mean? That's good. Yes.
Because like. You know what I mean? It's like studying for the wrong test, kind of thing.
Yes. Yep. It's, I mean, like your whole thing of like what's in the shows in the show is a lot deeper. I think about it a lot more deeply. I don't know. I think about it a lot in a hopefully good way.
I mean, there are times where like, I don't know, it's sort of like I've never had like an improv class. See you at improv rehearsal. That guy seems like a real dick. You want me to kill him for you? No, but anyway. But this improv-y thing of like, you know, like the whole thing of not even the yes and haha, but the more of the like you'll be so much better off if you don't try to prepare, if you don't have a bit in mind, because first of all, you'll never be able to do the bit, but you're thinking about trying to do the bit is going to make it more difficult for you to be tuned into what's actually happening. Like, if you can eliminate any distraction that takes you out of what's actually happening now, rather than your plan, right? It's going to fuck this up. And I think that's so. Like, for example, I had a joke ready in my mind, not a joke ready in my mind, but as in like sometimes you know how people like ruminate about the future and what'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
I do that with not relationships, but like interactions with people. And sometimes, if even I'm just like idly sitting around. I'll say something funny in the rumination that I would definitely never have a chance to say. But so, yes, you could say that I have a joke prepared. I don't think of it that way because I don't really have a joke prepared. I made myself laugh about the future title.
Oh!
And so I had gone into the polling station 20 minutes after a thought having occurred to me. And I'm going to tell you a true thing. It was nice. I went in there. There's some high school students working there. My next door neighbor was there voting. And I'm like, hey, name a person. And they're like, hey, name of Merlin. And I was there for one reason. I forgot to send in my ballot. My lady friend bugged me three times a week about it. And I still forgot. And I was like, oh, fuck. But there's only one thing I like super duper cared about. Everybody shut up. But I wanted to vote a certain way on a, ballot measure. And spoiler alert, it lost egregiously, but I did vote. So I walked in, I said, hi, Lisa, name of person. I walked over, I drew the line on the ballot I said no on H. And then I walked, it took me 11 seconds. And this is a 4 sheets, 8 pages ballot. So here's me.
Not even digital?
Hey, Lisa.
Or
no, well, you do the thing. You do the, you know, Scantron, and then it goes into this box.
Oh, yeah, no. Sorry, I didn't even know that was still a thing in some places. Anyway.
Comes in a folder. Woof. I haven't worked in an office in years. 42 more comes, and I can go.
Yep.
So anyway, that was a dumb joke, but I filled in the thing. I stuck in the folder. I walk over the thing. I go to the machine. They say, okay, are you done already? And I was like, they said, and this was the bit. Well, I had to stick the thing in. I put it into the thing, very bad UX, and it goes blank ballot. Are you sure you want to continue? Choose a language. I said, yes, I do want to continue English. Put in the second sheet. Blank ballot. Do you wish to continue? Please pick a language. Still English, buddy. Blank ballot. Do you wish to continue? Did you want to pick a language? English, please. Put in the fourth one. Bap! You voted. Please pick a language. English. Thank you. And they said, wow, that was the poll worker who's helping me with this says, wow, that was really fast. You're done? And I said, yeah. I said, I heard we get penalized for guessing.
That was good.
That actually did happen. Is that 20 minutes before that, I was thinking about that, and then I did have an opportunity to say it. Now, if that were an improv scene, now that person, I think they played it off legit. I don't think they think I prepared that because I'm pretty good as a amateur humorist. But when you prepare for a podcast and you're not an outline-y podcast, mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing, like I've done this with You Look Nice Today. I eventually, did I ever tell you this? I created a flagged drafts document of there's my checklist for all the things I have to do before a podcast, but the other thing was things that are almost always funny on You Look Nice Today.
Huh.
Where like if I'm not sure what's going on, and it's more partly a way of saying like I like to cook and I like salty food, but I don't want that to be the only thing that I use. I like tarragon in scrambled eggs, but I sure as shit don't want tarragon in everything, and you don't need that much. One must understand one's spice rack if one is going to put spice into foods, and it must flow. Also the herbs. And that's what I go look at the recipe box, and I say, for some reason, every time we talk about lobsters, it's funny. I don't know why. Is it the word lobsters? Is it the idea of, you know, Oliver Sacks's notion of pain and lobsters or whatever? What's funny about Oliver Sacks?
Oh,
always
my God.
Funny.
Yes.
Think about, or like, or just like the way bringing back the word ladies. I had not used the word ladies since the 70s or 80s because I had learned not to use that word. It's not. Why was it funny to me the first time on this show? We were talking about sunglasses or underwear or something. And one time Scott Simpson said something like, you know, and sunglasses for ladies. And the way he said it was so fucking funny to me. And it became a thing we started saying on the show, not by design. But I'll go and I'll look at that because that's my spice shelf. But when you prepare for like... I mean, would you write jokes for a date?
I know people who have done that.
It's Kara, right? It's
no,
Kara?
No, no, but yeah.
No, you can say it.
It's not.
What kind of jokes does she write?
No, no. Oh, that's...
It's like when Dan says, I have a friend who... Yeah, I know you do. But... sorry. I think I might need to go to an osteopath. Okay.
Oh, okay. My God.
Anyway, people are terrible.
No, but I...
And you want to be loved by the plastics. And you became a plastic at the airport is what I'm getting.
No. I wanted the customer service people were actually the plastics. And I was like, I told Matt, listen, you are going to see me look very, very sad. But I promise everything is fine.
Oh shit, you're Waymond.
I was like,
fucking hey, you're Waymond. No. You popped up the umbrella and you said, don't talk to me about this because I won't know what you're talking about. I'm going to walk over there, take off my glasses, eat a chapstick, and do shit you've never seen.
Well,
and please don't be freaked out about it.
I
just see you hulking out and tearing off your button-up shirt.
I was literally like, this is another thing I realized. It's not until you don't have your job until you realize, wow, I'm really fucking good at this. Because I have been able to get people to and from
when you
places.
When you were Martha.
But not just Martha.
The Martha character, not Martha Dump Truck.
My mean Martha character, or now my cuck Marty character, which is just like, oh my God, please, I have no control. Which is honestly like
cuck
me.
Cuck Marty is an animal. Oh my God, this is your Sybil.
Yes.
Which I know is not real, but whatever. But so on the one hand, Martha, no last name. Mm-hmm, Martha, mm-hmm. Martha last name withheld. Martha last name withheld is the character you would pull out where you were the officious office manager, was kind of like how you came off, right? We had to, well, you're dealing with vendors when you're, right? I'm sorry. Tell people about Martha. Martha is an amazing character, and people who have not listened to this show for years and years may not have heard of Martha.
Mm-hmm. When I worked at Cards Against Humanity, we did a lot of events at various conventions. And to get things like traveling to like gaming conventions, and what you're imagining is probably correct. And when you need to get like 20 performers to a place from various states, mm-hmm.
When you've got to get through people, that's a terrible way to put it, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. When you have to get the attention of somebody who has dozens or hundreds of people, almost exactly like you, doing the same thing at the same time, what is your, one might say, trick? What is the trick for you making yourself distinguished as a person that somebody else wants or needs to help? Isn't that fair? Like it is kind of about stepping on someone else's head, let's be honest. But how do you make yourself more, whatever you think it needs to be? And this is the fucking Martha Ninja skill. Like, do I need to be Marty and like cry and make this person, was it Marty with an I? Could it be?
Oh, it could be. It is now. Yes.
Martai. But like, oh, it's short for Martina. My mother's Venezuelan and she's dead. It'd be so nice if I could bring her ashes back to Yankee Stadium one more time. But like, you know, in the moment, it's the opposite of the like angry mook in some ways, where like, all I have is this number one wood. I don't have any other clubs in this bag. So all I can do is hit you with the bag.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
But you know, like, cause again, and Roderick and I've talked about this so much, and John, like that experience John had with, I guess United that one time, where it's like, there's nobody here to help you. And like, you can forget that at that desk with the plastics who are being, in this case, bullied, wherever you are in an airport, you're at somebody else's tender mercies. People are going to have to want to help you.
It is not your party.
It's not your party, and you don't get to pick the music, right? Like, so Siri, don't you agree? Like, I've said for years now, that's one reason I hate travel, is I feel like I've given up almost all control.
Oh yeah, Marty, let's go and let's God when in an airport. But what a lot of people don't get is it's not just not your party, but the customer service people, it's not their party either. Their boss is holding the party.
No, it's like somebody said on Twitter
today.
They're
not picking the music.
About the failure of Proposition, or about the recall of the DA, which is the only thing I voted about yesterday. And somebody on political Twitter put this very well, which is like, the San Francisco Police Department, hey, great job, guys. You spent months telling people like Merlin Mann, what do you want me to do about it?
Mm.
They basically have refused to do their job ever since this fella got elected, because they felt unsupported by him. They would not allow resources to be applied to like huge busts by the DA.
Ugh.
Like, there's an amazing story about the cops just refusing. The DA had to go out, and I think
what?
What do you want me to do? He went out, I think, and with maybe either his office's money or his own money, he rented a U-Haul to be able to get evidence of like all this, like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of stolen shit, because the police wouldn't help. The police wouldn't help. Okay, so like the man who's been living in a car with five cameras in his car pointed at my house for 1 year with tags that expired 2 years ago.
Oh, God.
When we called the cops to come out and said, well, finally, he just threatened to kill my wife and me.
Oh my God.
After we noticed him almost killing a motorcycle driver.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And you know what the cops said? The cops said, what do you want me to do about it?
Oh, my God.
Well, guess what?
Please,
guess what?
Please.
That just happened to be part of an organized political effort to get the DA recall.
That's so
right.
I mean,
so
I'm not surprised.
This person on Twitter. God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get full of beans. The person on Twitter, let me find this and credit this because it's going directly to what you're saying, or at least what I'm saying. The point of this, what we're talking about here is, hey, look, there are people in some ways that have figured out that the best way to do their job is to not do their job. That the most effective thing they can do, you know, think about if you're understaffed and you're not in first class, good luck. You might have an open wound, but somebody else would like to have another Johnny Walker wreck. And so that's going to get dealt with, right?
Yep.
Because as you squeeze that, think about squeezing a toothpaste tube. And there's, however you decide to grip the tube, there's only one movement that makes sense, which is toward the little hole at the end. So when you've got a full toothpaste tube and you squeeze it a little bit, it takes no effort to get any of it out. Halfway through, you're still good. When you get down to the last quarter of an inch of toothpaste, well, guess what? Guess where there's no toothpaste? In the back of the plane. Because whatever resources there are is going to be spent trying to push that little bit through the hole, through that little toothpaste urethra, which is a fantastic band I saw in 1993. I think they were on Sub Pop. And that's what's happening now. The cops are doing... Okay, congratulations to London Breed, the mayor of San Francisco. This is Alex Salmon, S-A-M-M-O-N, on Twitter, underscore Salmon. Congratulations to London Breed, who now bears full responsibility for the impossible task of cleaning up a manufactured crisis that she cynically played into and helped create. Because the idea was this was a DA that was elected on the something we all believe, which was our carceral society has got to pump the fucking brakes. We've got to stop arresting poor people for everything, putting them in jail forever. We've got to stop this. And so he did some changes that I'm not going to get into, but whether I love all of them or not, but he made a bunch of changes but you know what? The crime rate didn't change much. Everything was still pretty much the same. But you know what else happened at the same time? It gets complicated. Asian people started getting beat up and harassed to where a lot of Asian people who tend to be pretty keep to themselves and conservative in a lot of ways, generally, at least in my neighborhood, suddenly were even more like, no, I'm never going to an ATM again. Like a woman on Market Street was beaten nearly to death randomly by a guy who just ran up to her.
Recently?
So,
what the fuck?
Oh, yeah. No, this is happening. All happened in my neighborhood. Like, lady, 80-something-year-old woman getting groceries out of her car. Somebody just stopped. A car stops. Somebody comes out, and they beat her almost to death.
Jesus Christ.
Now, is that the DA's fault? It's not. A lot of that is bad timing from... I'm not trying to minimize this. But, like, as a national, not even political issue, but as a national cultural issue. This is a huge fucking deal. Mm-hmm. How do you think BTS gets invited to the White House? Like, it's better be a pretty fucking big deal.
Yeah.
But all that comes along. And then Alex Salmon says, and congratulations as well to the SFPD, the San Francisco Police Department, who effectively blackmailed the city into this result by refusing to do their jobs. Because it made the DA look worse and worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And the police just stood there. And do you know what they said to the city of San Francisco? What do you want me to do? In my case, the guy actually pointed to his little fucking Axon camera. He pointed to his body cam and said, look, I'm wearing this. A lot has changed about my job in the last few years. Do you want a citizen's arrest? The man who's been living in a car with five cameras pointed at your house for the last over 1 year with plates that expired 2 years ago. Oh. I asked him if he needed help and he said no.
Oh my God.
And just to be clear, he hits cars all the time.
Like with his car or like...
Yeah, did I mention that his tags expired 2 years ago? But also, you know those like reflective aluminum foil looking things you put on your windshield mm-hmm. on hot days
yes.
to keep the sun out? Mm-hmm. He's put those on all four sides of his car. All of his windows are covered.
Oh, no.
And he has, by my count, at least five security cameras in his car that are all pointed, as it happens, at our house.
Oh, God.
And he's lived there for years. And almost no one ever, you can hear music coming out. You almost never see him. It's a really nice hybrid. It's not like a 1962 Comet. It's like a recent hybrid.
So it's like this, like he, this is like a, we
he's
don't say
crazy. He's got a $30,000 car.
Yeah, like so it's a person of means, not.
Oh no, he's, something's going on.
But like he's able to.
Even I, who tend not to be too paranoid and weird, mm-hmm. honestly in real life about this stuff, I'm like, why the fuck is this guy always out there? And why is it... Okay, so did I mention the things he puts on his windows?
Yes.
Right? So imagine, you know, like the funny sunglasses. God. Imagine that... Let me put it this way. I can only speculate. If I lived in a hybrid on a street in San Francisco and I didn't want to be seen, I would do a pretty good job putting those up so that even light didn't get in, right? Let alone people being able to see me. So you get what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
side windows, mm-hmm. back window, front window. Did I mention that he drives the car with those still up?
What? Oh, God, that's genuinely really scary.
And so every time we hear a combination of honking and squeaking brakes, literally in front of our house, we can count on looking out and seeing him changing to a different parking space or adjusting while driving with a full, it's basically like Luke and the lightsaber on the Millennium Falcon. Mm-hmm. And he pulls out. He's using his mini security cameras to help him see outside. But that one day that we finally, I think I told you about this. We all went to the police station and two other neighbors were there at the same time.
No, I didn't know about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because we'd all been like, and every single one of us to a person was like, oh, yeah, we don't want this guy to get in trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been here for a year and we've never said a word about it. But like today's the day he finally threatened our lives. And so maybe we figure we should talk to somebody. That was at 1 p.m. Cop came at 7 p.m. and said, what do you want me to do? I never told this full story because it's weird.
And it's there's nuance and it's hard.
It is hard. And I like I said to my wife, please don't do something that makes you unpopular on Instagram. Like the guy's got cameras pointed at us and like you can make things look a whole lot of ways. And we just kept saying over and he kept saying, well, what do you want me to do about this? I said, well, I wasn't even saying, well, here's what I want you to do about this. I didn't say put him in the clink, drop that guy in the slammer. Lower him into the oubliette. I did not say that at all. I said, well, it just strikes me that the whole reason this thing started today that caused him to get the rare appearance out of his car was that he literally almost killed a motorcycle. And I said, any one of us on the street can tell you five times we've seen that. And he said, well, don't speak for other people. Do you want to press charges?
Good Lord.
I said, no, I don't want to press charges. I said, but we do live here and it's not a busy street. But he said, so what do you want me to do? And I said, I'm just concerned because he doesn't take down those. The reason that he keeps almost hitting people with his car is that he's driving with his, again, 2 years expired plates in his really nice hybrid. And he almost hits people pretty often. He said, so do you want to do a citizen's arrest? I said, I don't. He said, well, look, the policing's changed a lot. There's not a lot I can do here. I went over there. I asked him if he needed help. I offered services to him. He said he didn't need it. I said, risking here that I might get thrown in jail. I said, well, did you notice that his tabs expired 2 years ago? He said, the car's fine. And I said, okay, well, the reason I'm telling you this is that it is a concern that has existed for a long time, which is that this man is driving very unsafely. Notice I did not say it's weird that he lives in front of our house. Mm-hmm. Why always our house? Mm-hmm. And notice I did not say that. I said the thing that's a true thing that I think he could do something about, which is, and I'm worried that he's going to hurt somebody with the way that he's driving. And I said, I probably, selfishly enough, would have continued not to mention it until today when he did threaten my wife and me and a lot of our neighbors.
That happened today?
No.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
Oh, no, he's still there. He's still there.
Jesus.
And so do I love cops, Alex? Do I turn to cops every time?
Oh, yes,
I present my white guy.
Yep.
Present my white
blue.
Guy card to go, please go take care of this for me. There's that. And then it ended. Here's the way it ended. And he was so nice. Oh. And he goes, yeah, well, you know, if he's doing something and you think he's breaking the law, call 911 next time.
Oh, my God.
And I said, I don't know. I don't have a way to say whether he's, it's not, I didn't say this, but what I'm thinking is it's not my job to decide if a law has been broken. It is both of our jobs to continue being curious about ways that we can avoid future problems by manifestly helping today. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not even here to go like, oh, that guy should go to a shelter. I wouldn't go to a shelter. That's where you go to get stabbed. Like he's living in his car in front of our house. Like I don't have an opinion about that that requires action. All the ways that I feel about that are not touching on what this cop's job is, mm-hmm. in my opinion, or at least my understanding. What does touch on that is at least this very general idea of what we call public safety. And so like, I mean, I don't want to be histrionic about this, but I mean, one of the inevitable things we can count on after a school shooting you know, apart from changing the topic to something besides the death of children, is the way that we want to look at we want a Monday morning quarterback. What could have been done differently, right? Hasn't that happened since Columbine?
Yes,
at least is the like, oh, could we have known? And so but even when we learn that the school district in Uvalde, we learn the school district had been paying for a thing that like scans social media for problems. They paid for that. They're one of the communities that one of the thousands and thousands of communities that pays a robot to look at social media and tell them if somebody's going to die. And apparently, at least according to what I've heard on What Next, it doesn't work. But we always get back to that whole like, what could we have done differently? You know, what could we have done differently when that family let's even say this happens all the time on our street because it's real steep. Family goes by on like an e-bike, like a baby or like a kid going to school. Mm-hmm. Dad's riding the e-bike. But wouldn't it suck if they got backed into just hard enough that the kid got brain damage and the dad lost an eye?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that be a bummer? I'm not even saying they're dead. I'm saying it's maybe worse than dead, which is they slowly got run into by a man with shades on his car.
Oh, God.
Because I could certainly imagine that mm-hmm. happening. Given that, every time you hear a horn and screeching, you can look outside and see the guy slightly pulled out of that space. I don't mean to make this about Columbine, but if that were to happen, wouldn't you have wished, if you were in that person's family, wouldn't you have wished that cop would at least take a report?
Yeah, I mean... Mm-hmm.
And when you go into an airport, they do not get a bonus for helping you. They are going to pick the person who actually could make trouble for them or the person that they most want to help.
Mm-hmm.
And yell, when I see a dude go in there and start yelling at Regina or whomever, I think, oh, you poor bastard. You really, unless you really are, I'm talking like a million miler. I'm not talking about like ass fuck silver or whatever your important man status is. I'm talking like, you better be literally a million miler. Here's the thing though, dude. If you really were a million miler, you wouldn't be standing at that gate.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
No. You'd probably be driven around in like your little personal golf cart. Like there'd be an Asian man carrying you like a fireman. Mm-hmm. Like if you were Tom Hanks, there's so many reasons you would not be here yelling at a middle-aged woman right mm-hmm. now. And has this ever worked for you? Because that person would really much rather help almost anybody else than you. And you may very well. You've seen it happen. Where like it's like a fucking lottery. When if it's not a canceled flight, because they really want to not cancel flights, if it's really not a canceled flight and it's more like who's going to make it onto this next plane, they're totally deciding. I don't think that's random at all. They are deciding based on factors that may be out of their hands, but almost all the time is totally in their hands.
This is the like weird.
They can upgrade you to first class if they feel like it.
Okay. And that is what happened to me because like I told Matt, you know, just sit, hang out. Everything is going to be fine. And I go in line and again, I'm watching people go through their stages of grief and pretty much everybody trying to reschedule their flight is at anger. And whenever you need to have any sort of customer service, I feel like you just need to go through those stages as quickly as possible to get to acceptance because I finally get to
But you also need to stay focused on a reasonable result. So like I think it's to really oversimplify a thing in life, whether you're doing this through GTD or sports or whatever, it does help to have a goal in mind. And when people say shit like failure is not an option or always aim for the top, well, yeah, that's fine. But like, do you have a sensible thing that could be achieved that doesn't rely on really good luck? Right. I mean, I think that's not dumb at all to go like, well, you know, then for example, like an easy way I do that is instead of saying I will do this many, I will do this every day. Instead, I will say I will do this X times in the next week or I will do this X times in the next month, which gives me plenty of room for failure. Right. I love that I can fail and still not have blown my goal. If I make my success to not do something every day for the rest of my life, right? That's not a sensible goal. So a sensible goal when you go up there is I need to figure out, and you suddenly need your Terminator heads up display to compute the most insane fucking calculus in the world, which is, do I think this plane will actually ever leave? Like, is there a chance I would have better luck at this point? Like, for example, when I always go straight to the counter with my carry-on at the beginning. Have you ever been on a flight where they didn't say, we got to gate check some of your shit? It always happens. Why don't you just go there? Go walk right up to them and say, hey, I wonder if you think you might need to gate check. I'd be happy to do that. And if that would be useful to you. And they go, thank you. They put the tag on it. Guess what? Now you don't have to carry your bag into that fucking area. And now you can really relax about boarding because you've really solved two problems. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You follow?
Yes.
Now, I could be alpha guy and go, oh, I'm going to make sure I get all my six bags in here because I'm mad at everybody. But like so the result there is I'm solving a problem before it's become a problem. If your best strategy is, what if I tried to get rebooked now? Because all I could think about the whole time you were talking about, what if flight gets canceled? You know, that flight got canceled probably because a lot of other flights got canceled too. That end of the toothpaste tube, there's going to be less and less paste that will get to pass through that hole, to reuse my analogy. Why don't I try to start bargaining ahead of time? And it's almost a prisoner's dilemma. Instead of me trying to get the best possible outcome exactly the way I conceived it a month ago, why don't I figure out the best strategy for survival? And if I, you know what I'm saying? And so you need to combine all of those things in a little bit. Like, there's been times when I've been in line waiting to get information when I've started pointlessly calling the airline to see if I can get rescheduled. Because at that moment when they make that announcement, you're going to be up against over 100 people doing the same thing. Why would you put yourself in that situation? You know what I mean? So did you have a strategy going into it?
Yes, and the strategy was no Martha, no alpha girl boss. It was like, I am going to show that I have accepted this and that I am at their mercy.
Did you actually lay on the floor like a wounded animal?
I exposed your
belly.
Yep. I'm like, here.
You're the alpha.
Do with me what you will.
I respect you, Regina.
When I get to the desk, of course, all of the people working at this customer service desk don't know what has happened, doesn't even know what flight everybody is on, because in theory, this would be the customer service desk for everybody. It just so happens that there are 100 people trying to rebook for this exact flight, which, you know, nobody in line knows that. And so there's immediately you get there and there's confusion and anger. There are three people like at the customer service desk. And as I was at the front, I was basically tried to look as crestfallen and sad and disappointed, but not angry. Like with the like.
So, and at this point, you are literally walking with a cane?
No. This is, remember, we have left the linear story. This is last Thursday when we are just leaving Chicago.
Oh, sorry. I could have really used inner title there. Sorry. Okay, cut all that out. Sorry, cut all that out.
I'm just like, I'm just like, oh, what's your final destination? Let's see. There are no flights today. I'm so sorry. Like,
my final destination is a life without pain.
Yeah.
Can you help me with that, Regina?
And I'm like, Regina, no, I totally understand. You're doing your job. Thank you so much. And she just did the, oh. Oh, thank you. And
oh, bless your heart.
And then suddenly, you know, there are a bunch of the other folks who we're all at the counter together, but they are like with other agents are almost one guy, I would say, basically screaming, like beyond yelling, like actual screaming, which I am like, okay.
But like, as though that person is deliberately trying not to help them, and if they could yell more, it would persuade them to help more. Like, what? Where's he going with that?
I think it is just that anger response of like, if I'm not angry, I must be the weak one, and nothing will get done.
Nailed it. That fucking nails it. Totally, you got it.
And I ended up just, you know, honestly, it was like the, like you said, that not an actual threat of violence, but it's like, yes, I'm angry. So who knows? This is what I need. What are you going to do to get it? Except literally screaming. Oh God, I just felt so bad. And for these I'm just going to call them customer service people because I don't know what they're actually called.
Well, have you ever been in an airport? I was about to say understaffed airport, but is there any other kind? Have you ever been? I've been in an airport where, I mean, it was like Hot Fuzz, where like at first Simon Pegg doesn't figure out that the guy at the desk is twins. It's like where there's a person over in this part of the terminal who checked me in and took my bag, right?
Mm-hmm,
that person an hour, because I'm Syracuse and I, right, we're a matched pair, because I'm there 3 hours early, 2 hours early, whatever. I go, I eat lunch, I have a drink, I get a magazine and some Jawbreakers or whatever, and the person at the desk at the gate is the same person who checked me in. I've had that numerous times, especially at smaller airports. That is basically SOP at Rhode Island. What I'm getting at is you might be dealing with a person in three different aspects of their job, all very heavily related to what we could call customer service, right? But like they're fucking dealing. It's like some kind of endless existential meat grinder this person has to go through.
It was truly, I mean, maybe it's because this is the first time I've flown in a very long time. But again, I'm very good at airports because I hate them so much and I want some illusion of control. But the way that these people were treating these customer service people, who are, of course, being trained because it is post spring break season, which is when, the new people are hired and everybody, you know, was laid off. And now they've hired them at a much lower wage.
Oh, because there's a lull. You're in a lull, I'm guessing.
Yes.
But tell me, you're in a business lull or traffic slight lull from between spring break, but then before. I mean, I imagine summers are Christmas. And the same way, like Christmas in retail, I imagine summer is a time where there's going to be a lot of people who've been there less than a year, and you train them in that interregnum. I never knew that. That's fascinating.
Yeah. And but I had the Regina. Like, I had the Alpha in this, which was awesome because she... Oh, I'm so sorry. Hold on one sec. What the fuck is...
Take it. No problem.
Hey, Siri, stop. I don't know how that, well, what? Oh, boy. Oh, well, patreon.com/DubaiFriday. I'm going to have some words about Siri. But I am with the woman who clearly does have the power to do something. And I told Matt, don't try to book another flight. Don't go into the app. It's not that they are lying. It is just that truly you cannot book a flight through the app, because what they need to do is, it's like Tetris in order to get people back onto the flights.
Or it's even like War Games, where two people have to turn the key. There's a whole sequence. Mm-hmm. When all that time, you ever been standing there and you're like, in my case, I'm like, oh my God, I really am so bad at travel, and I'm thinking, oh God, I don't like situations where I'm totally out of control. Mm-hmm. And not because, like, it's just, you know what it is, but it's that combined with the necessary amount of unknowability. Unfortunately, I don't know how much you know about my personality and my various afflictions, but like being stuck in an uncomfortable public situation where I have no agency and there's uncertainty inside of uncertainty makes me a little bit uncomfortable. And, you know, of course, I'm, as we say, you know, running away from trauma and running toward resolution. I really want that. But the thing, have you ever wondered while you're standing there, doesn't it seem like you're like, are you typing a fucking short story? Like, what are you, you know what I'm talking about? You're standing there and they're like, oh, let me just change your seat. And they type. I don't know if they're playing Zork or something, but like they're typing. So it really does feel like they're writing an essay. Or an opinion piece for the New York Times. And you're like, do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had this? You're like, what are you typing? And I have to guess that person, because of how the system is is basically, if you like, ticking all sorts of boxes that say that could, I'm going to speculate, could involve stuff like, okay, this is a thing that would involve a change in fee, but I need like a separate fee. I need to override that. I need to make sure that I have not liberated this person's seat to be available for another person. And you know what I mean? I bet there's all kinds of, if you like, inventory and inventory issues.
It is. It's like configuring. I've seen a couple of these UIs actually, and it's like configuring a like a custom Apple or a Mac Studio or something. There are a bunch of like radio buttons and.
I bet it's like spinning up an instance on a not very good. Like if you wanted to go do your own, do a Linux setup somewhere. It seems like they type about as much as it would take Marco to build a server from scratch. Okay, I got the Postgres set up, and then I need to change the root password. And so, what happened? It sounds like you're embarrassed that you got something good.
Oh, well, I was just like, it's okay. No, take your time. And with just like the saddest voice. And I'm like, no, I really understand. It's okay. I know.
And I always want to be loved. So I'm like, oh my God, this must be a really hard day. I am honestly talking to them as a person when I do that. I don't mean that in a callow way. I'm sure they've seen it all. You don't get awards. You see these awards? You don't get these without seeing some bullshit. Sorry, Jamie Lee Curtis.
Well, that was honestly, I approached the situation pretending to be much more crestfallen and sad than I actually was, because I was like, all right, we've got to leave tomorrow on Friday. But I was just like really, really sad. And I'm like, no, I understand. And I was actually really sad at that point because I'm watching these ladies get screamed at. But then the lady is like, you know what,
Regina?
Regina is like, honey, do you have about 15 minutes? Oh, of course, I totally understand. And after about a half hour, suddenly, I did have both Matthew and I were able to get on a flight that day next to one another in first class. And
that is, I got to tell you, man, that is rare because so many fewer people are buying first class. Whether it's at a cut rate, like things, if you bought a first class ticket, you're the king of the airport in a lot of ways. Because like you probably do that pretty often. You're definitely like a high roller. But I think just in the cascade, God, I would love to see. I couldn't understand the computer logic of this, but I would love to understand, like on a whiteboard, show me the business logic of this flow, right? Where from all the way, so like you are a wounded corporal who bought a first class seat. You're a pregnant, wounded first soldier who bought first class, whatever, right? Something that combines every element of like, it would be difficult to, it would really be a problem if you treat this person like shit. And they're getting married. They're there with their, disabled spouse. Okay. So, and they bought two first class tickets. Like they are probably going to get treated better than a teenager who's obviously drunk and bought the ticket on, you know,
like Hip Monk or
the disco pants or discountmommies.com or whatever, you know, and like, yeah, I've seen plenty of, especially Wendover and CGP Grey, but Wendover does these. The reason that I got into Wendover Productions was his stuff about travel, especially airlines. His stuff about airlines, he's really good. He does have a habit, a little bit like the lockpicking lawyer. He has a way of talking that you will either love or hate. But all the things about, like, here's six people, and here's what each one of them paid for this flight. They all left the same city at the same time. They will all arrive in this other city at the same time. That's the irony. Every single person on that plane, unless they fall out the toilet, will arrive at the same time as everyone else. But what they experience in between could be different. But even in coach, it's unbelievable what different people pay for essentially the same ticket. But like you, I would love to see that cascade. But they are ultimately in a position. Oh, sorry, I'm prattling on. But I think that shit is just fascinating. So you go up there. You're talking to Regina. Regina says, "Do you have a few minutes? You're playing along, playing in the space." That is miraculous because there are so many people that will almost always get that seat before you. All the way down to people who are like, where's my upgrade? I haven't seen my three-letter name. I haven't seen, was it? Oh, Kara Fagan. Kara Fagan, right? I'm not going to say the word, but FAG has not been called yet. And you're like, oh my God, I can't tell you how many times I've been standing there at that fucking gate for the last leg of an interminable fucking experience. And I sit there and I look up at that board about upgrades and stuff. And I'm like, I will hang on to a wing. Just please let me not have to be here another 14 hours. Please, please, please. And other people are like, well, I was told that. I'm sorry. Did I tell you real quick? Did I tell you the story about the last leg of the very bad, no good, terrible vacation? When I shoved that poor woman.
Yeah.
But there was a lady in front of me in the getting reseated because they booked me for a second flight because I was a danger. The pilots, the staff was not comfortable having me there. And so I did have to wait all day. And I did buy $600 headphones while I was there to console myself. And I ate a steak, if I'm being honest. But then when I was, the reason I would have to be there longer is the actually fairly nice person who had to deal with me, the person who was the intermediary between the batshit insane person who thought that I was an assaulter. Mm-hmm. The guy was really as nice, as kind as he could be to me, given that I was apparently a felon. But he really tried to get me booked for another flight. But like, and I was standing there and there was a woman in front of me and I had to stand there while she went back and forth with the person at the desk. Okay. So this woman in front of me had already gotten rebooked from a different flight than mine, but she was ahead of me to get rebooked. Right. All good. And they had cut her a ticket and she goes up there and is like, I was told that I would be able to get a window seat. And she said, I'm sorry, what? I was told I'd be able to get a window seat. And one's like, well, we've already rebooked your flight. And now we have a lot of other people that we need to get onto this flight. Like, you talk about feeling sympathy for my Regina. And the woman that says, no, well, you know, I'm sorry, I've got to put it this way. You can either take the flight that you've been booked on with the seat that you've been booked on, or we could try again later. And she goes, yeah, but I want to be rebooked with the window seat. And she wasn't being a jerk, but she also was a little bit emotionally unavailable, as we say, clinically, and responding. And the poor woman, but then there would be long silences where she's just thinking about it. And she started to get like a little bit weepy, like maybe there's an issue here that I don't know about, which is fine. But she would not just say, fucking, it's more important for me to have this particular, like Goodfellas, I got to have my lucky hat. If you need that seat, could you please tell my Regina so we can keep this moving? But no. Mm-hmm. And this was 10 minutes of this back and forth. And every three different women at this desk, and they were women, all had to say, ma'am, I don't know what to tell you. We have so many people we still need to book on this. You have a seat and that is booked. And what I will do for you is if you don't want that seat, tell me now and I will give it to someone else. And then I will do my best to book you on another flight. You know, it's like, but she doesn't have a fucking magic wand. But you need three magic wands to please most of these people. Like, what do you think I'm dealing with all day? It's like, yeah. And this went on and on and on. And then finally, after many, many minutes, and again, every minute that she's up there silently weeping about how she didn't get, like about her, understand, right? Does the clock stop on when that plane is leaving?
All of those connections have just, you know, they're on pause.
I was so far down the list, but I don't even know how close I got to getting on that flight. But I do know that at the point when there were still three of us standing there looking doleful but dignified next to their away bag, there were three of us left that didn't make the flight. There were no more seats.
Oh my God.
And they didn't tell us we were not getting booked on that flight. They didn't tell us. Okay, so I love my curvy Regina, but there was never a time when they got on the mic and said, "I'm sorry, this plane is totally booked in."
Oh, so you're standing there, basically expecting to board,
and like, do who's going to be? Because of course, at this point now, it is Prisoner's Dilemma or some other might be Stanford Prison Experiment. Which one of us will be the one? Which one of us will be the token asshole who walks up and says, "So."
What happened here? I demand. demand satisfaction.
You go up there. And is this, just so I know, is this Marty?
This, oh yeah, I was full on Marty.
This is your new patented character, Marty, who everybody wants to help. Like you're like a little wet baby that nobody wants to hold.
It's just like,
I want a window seat. Are you fucking kidding me? I almost got arrested in the state of Michigan, and I want to go home. I really, really, really want to go home. I will. Not only will I sit literally in the lavatory, I won't even accept tips for mints and combs. I will sit in there and I will attend. I will be the restroom attendant for your flight. I will be a footstool. I will give hand stuff to the co-pilot. Not even the real pilot. I will touch the balls. I'll even lick the guy's ear. And it is a guy. Right? I'll even bring him moist towelettes after and carry them away. Do you have any remaining service items that you came on?
God damn.
Right?
Well, and
full and complete stop.
The wanting to again.
I gave a co-pilot a full and complete stop.
Oh, yeah, bravo. You're not like that poor man who had to masturbate four times because he couldn't finish.
Do you want me to have you removed from this flight right now? Do I want you to have me removed from this flight right? Do you want me to have you removed from this flight right now?
Yes, I do.
You know what? I do. I think I do.
Yes, I want to keep pushing this lady.
You want to go calmly, or would you rather be dragged kicking and screaming? Oh, kicking and screaming, please.
Oh God!
All right, so Marty's up there. Marty's looking very fragile.
It slowly became a thing where I'm like, oh God, this Regina who has started now to just straight up ignore other passengers who are trying to ask her questions. And she truly was like Regina. She started treating these people like shit, which I kind of understand because they were not very nice people. And I think
we only wear pink on Wednesdays.
We were able to, it was a 12-hour wait in the airport because they don't have, they can't be like LaGuardia Airport plane, Spirit Airlines.
And you know what? How about this? Don't stray too far from your gate. Because especially if it's, you know, the way this works, hub and spoke, right? Mm-hmm. The less significant your flight is in that world, or the more that it's not autopilot, the more that it is a flight that a bunch of people always have to take, like that could be, you know, but that last leg type flight where you've gone from like a fucking Charlotte airport or whatever, mm-hmm. but that last leg that could be like, fuck, oh my God, you never want to be stuck in New Jersey. But if you're at that terrible at Newark, which is seriously like a Dante level fuck show. If you're at that, the one where they're the only way to move between terminals is on a literal bus, a bus kind of drives you mostly from place to place through a large extended parking lot. Like the San Francisco Zoo, there is no area at the Newark airport that feels like the front of everything. No matter where you are at the Newark airport, it feels like you're looking at the back of something. It's that bad.
I think the one time I've been there, that might have been what made me great at airports because I was like, hashtag never again, never forget. Everything is worse than this.
It's like, do I want to say Hunger Games? But it is very like you're going to learn a lot about who you really are at the Newark airport. It is a lot like being in a dream and not a great dream. It is like at least a minor stress dream, if not a total like meltdown.
Oh, it feels... I'll make a problematic comparison.
Merlin, why don't you like to travel? It's so fun. You meet new people. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to spend, I don't know, $5,000 on introducing chaos into my life for 2 weeks. Don't you mean a vacation? Sorry, I mean a vacation.
Always on vacation. Patreon.com/DoByFriday. This...
All right, I don't know if we're going to get to hand salad because I already tossed a hand salad for the co-pilot, But you got, so Regina's ignoring everybody else. Martha Dump Truck's back there with her dick in her hand. And you and your spouse are going to be placed into fucking first. What airline was it?
It was American. Well, it was.
They're still around. That's good for them.
Oh, no, they're one of the big boys.
Well, so who's based in Chicago? United? Isn't no?
I think you
no shit.
Who's
based in Chicago?
I don't know. Oh, I
feel
don't
like
know.
I thought United, but I'm not sure. It might be American.
Possibly.
That is one good part about like if you live in Atlanta and you like to fly Delta for some reason, Delta Airlines and life
Freak.
Is a fucking nightmare.
Freaks.
That would be my sixth John Mulaney reference by my count. If you live in Atlanta and need to get home and you're on Delta, you're going to have way better luck than with a lot of other airlines. Because if you need to get back to Atlanta from almost anywhere, you're going to have way better luck than, like, say, JetBlue, which I think is based in Las Vegas. Like, because there's always so many planes. I don't even know. I don't even know who's based in Chicago. But, like, so how did that figure into this?
Oh, because in their, like, absolutely wild Tetris system, it's like, oh, yes, we can swap passengers between United and American because we, like, they have this weird sweetheart deal where if, like, it's one of those things where if you, like, check all of those
boxes. It's part of Star Alliance.
And you can finally, like... It's the certain part where it's like, yeah, they're really good at squeezing out that last bit of toothpaste because of all, like, I got through all of the little funnels and, but.
Well
and
done. So, go ahead. I thought you were going to be all fucked up today, but you've never had so much mental acuity here.
I honestly, I think it's
which
because
I was
I've
meant
never
to be a compliment somehow.
Yep, that sure was. I mean, I didn't prepare,
you
know,
so
but
much
I was,
for a fat girl.
Oh, and anyway, look, and I was like, oh, cool, first class, yay. But this Regina honestly saved my ass because...
Sweet Regina.
I was, well, but she was able to also upgrade us for our flight home, which I initially was not going to take.
Are you fucking kidding me? What is happening?
I got the queen bee, and she was, I was going to go to San Jose.
At this airport, I'm the apex predator.
She must have had some power because to be able to completely, like, flat out ignore other
That's
customers.
What I'm saying. In the musical, the song about yes. Regina is apex predator. You got helped by the top of a food chain.
Yes, I did not know, but I was so fucking lucky because, I had was not able to go to San Jose. Was I flying? Yeah, I was flying into, the plan was to go to San Jose. I did not have any fancy, I'm not fancy enough to be, invited to the press, dob stuff. But
dob,
like,
dob.
Yeah, I was going to have, like, see friends and have some meetings and do podcasts. But the...
Come out to the coast, have some laughs, they said.
Yeah. And they're like, no, you need to get home as soon as possible because you may or may not need surgery. TBD. But luckily, though, that flight back to Chicago was able to be in first class with my stupid big boot cast.
Hot.
It's very, very hot.
Patreon.com/DubaiFriday.
Oh, boy.
See her ruined feet. Look at them. Oh, man. I mean, when you're there for the removal and it's all ganky inside, it's going to be just like the toes on Survivor. Welcome to the toes of Survivor.
I know.
Everybody hates and some people love probably a little too much. When they stand on that, like, 4x4. Oh, I hate the crucifixion thing.
Yeah.
And then all the bowling pins fall on your head.
Oh,
could have been over there eating a turkey sandwich, working on your puzzle.
I'm really glad that people do that show, and but I have no idea why they would want to be. I have no idea why that is an impressive type of person, and I don't understand.
It's like when I first learned about David Blaine, I had a fives about this one time about David Blaine and all of his fucking stunts. You know, he gets frozen into a block of ice, or, you know, only eats chicken wings for 5 years. Like, it's just weird, weird things. I didn't think there would be that many people like Alex Solo or David Blaine in the world. But anybody who wants to be on a reality show, I is from a different species, as far as I'm concerned. For every reason you can think of. Everybody is going to talk about what your neck looks like. You're going to be sunburned. Like, you're going to get an edit that you have no control over. And you're almost definitely not going to win $1 million. Oh, sounds good. No, I'm in.
Yeah.
I brought a business suit.
Oh, well, I mean, speaking again of business class, even when you are in first or business class, but you require a wheelchair because you can't, you know, like have your crutches. Because you will hurt someone, because they're just those people who are pushing women all the time.
They push those poor women.
Wow. Airports. I always like to think that I am conscientious of like disabled people in airports, and
until you get mowed down by one of those beep beep cars.
Beep
beep. The Seinfeld bit about that is at this point probably a little problematic, but it was so fucking funny. Watch out, special people coming through. Beep beep beep. Like, who do I have to blow to get a ride?
God. Well, people were looking at me because, like, this is, like, it looks like a temporary cast, because it is for, like, only two. It looks like one of those things that, like, you can walk on.
Is it one you can take off, or is it, it's like, you saw it in that creepy photo you put up, but it's it's one of those, but it's an air cast? Is that what it's called?
Oh, I don't know.
But it's one of those. But it's one of those casts that's not like the plaster cast of my youth.
Yes.
But it's also not like the thing my wife had as a brace that you can take off. Right. You can't just take that off and take a shower. Right.
Right. Right. You still need the whole. I've had to buy a lot of equipment because it needs to stay on.
Oh, are you going all palazzo pants for June?
I don't know what that reference is. What?
You don't know what a palazzo pant is?
No.
Save it for the palazzo after show.
Okay.
a big blousy long pant. Like, think about something you'd see Joan Crawford in the 50s. Or Barbara Stanwyck. Not Barbara Stanwyck on Westerns. Think about it like Double Indemnity pants.
Interesting. I will consider that.
I'm just saying, maybe yoga pants are not going to be your jam for June.
Oh God!
Why are these so tight?
God, putting on. Yeah, I've never been in so much pain putting on a sock that one day. But wowee!
Well, you're 55.
And just injuring myself in my sleep. I look forward to it.
It hurts. It hurts to take medicine for pain. It's getting easier. I kind of wish there was, like, you know, on a good website, there'll be the button. Like, think about the way when you're setting up in Apple Health, right? And you go to a section, you have a new thing, and you're like, oh, do you want this thing to be able to read? What do you want it to be able to read? And what do you want it to be able to write? And there's that wonderful just, you know, select all. And the select all will either unselect or select everything. I've moved to a point in life where I need the unselect. I need, like, basically I'll select all and take off the ones that are no longer true. I have everything. I have everything.
Are you on any medications? Well, I am on all.
Well, actually, could we reverse that, please?
Could you tell me which ones I'm not on?
Do you have a different form that is both longer electronic and has click buttons?
I'll just
command click between all of these.
Quick aside, in the emergency room, I had to fill out the form via an iPad.
It happened. Alex,
with
did it happen?
Quick notes. With what? Wait.
Because I've been for years saying never try to avoid doing anything in life that your loved one might have to fill out a form about.
See, yes, that's the thing is I don't even have a good story. I just tripped. But
that's bullshit,
I know. And
you're leaving out that you were obviously drunk.
No. That's the thing is
you think you're better than me?
I didn't want to say every time. And, like,
I wasn't drunk.
And yeah, I wasn't.
Because nothing makes you sound more drunk than saying I wasn't
exactly.
drunk.
And that was sort of the thing of like, you had fun at the wedding.
I didn't push that poor
eventually
woman.
I'm like, what? Yes, I had fun at. Yeah, I was. Yeah, my one mimosa really just
was it gravel or was it flat?
Nope, it was a flat. It was a parking lot.
You blame the
flat.
Shoes, the lady sandals.
It was. Yeah, I flew too close to femininity yet again.
With your wax shoes. No wonder I can't fly. I'm trying to use shoes. Jesus Christ. Okay, so, okay.
Oh,
so,
well, I'm a little bit down because I have to come back to Chicago to sit on my couch with my USB microphone that I am, you know, that's sad for Alex. But in the airport, Chicago airport, as we've landed, which was yesterday, if you think that it's difficult to prepare for a flight as a normal person, think about realizing planning.
We say
a
neurotypical.
My wow. Airports and disability way worse than I remember. Like, and also it kind of looked like I was like cosplaying as disability.
Oh, you mean like hostile in design to people with disabilities? Navigating physically is a challenge for folks with different disabilities.
Well, yes, but that's like the obvious part of like the thing. It's very difficult to get into like wheelchair. There are very few wheelchair accessible places, all that, blah, blah, blah. But there is like zero infrastructure for, or at least in my experience of two flights needing to be in a wheelchair, like no infrastructure. Like, and there's...
I mean, like one that comes straight to mind is the narrow aisleway. Like they have a special wheelchair, but you know how the way like special needs wheelchair, but you know how there's the, like, you think about the little cart they wheel through there. Please keep your feet in because we're going by with our beep beep cart, like to give you ginger ale or whatever. There's a similar.
I did not reserve the beep beep card, so I didn't get the beep beep card.
I mean, like in the same way that the cart that they have, sorry to state the stupid obvious in this extremely long episode, but like the cart that they go up and down the aisleway with, right, for mm-hmm. giving you drinks, right? Well, that's special for lots of reasons. Two that come to mind is that it's very narrow so that it can pass through there and it can be locked into that cabinet. Ditto. I think wheelchair's got to be the right word for it. You ever seen somebody bring somebody onto a plane on a wheelchair? It's really, really, it's adorably narrow because the airlines are putting more seats and everything's, and I imagine there's federal things about a commercial flight needing to have an aisle of at least this width with red and red lights that do blah, blah, blah. But nevertheless, like, I don't think planes accommodate. I doubt that the most basic accommodations of planes for disabled people has changed extremely much, but I would be happy to hear more. Like getting into the seat, how do you get into the seat if you have extreme mobility issues?
I found out there are many floors.
Get one of the row. I guess they have to put you.
Yep. There. Well, and like you can call. Most people have to, you know, call in advance to reserve a wheelchair and like what they call like wheelchair services. But when it has happened the day before,
my mom always does it. My mom does it. Like buying parking alongside your Ricky Montgomery ticket. Like she always gets a wheelchair.
Well, but and that's what I didn't realize is apparently people quote abuse the system, or at least according to the guy.
1,000%.
Really? Wow.
Well, and this used to be the joke. Well, the joke used to be, when I was a kid, this was a bit. Whenever you take a flight, order the kosher meal. Why? Well, because there's very, very few people who are legitimately kosher, but because you're basically getting something generally way better than the much more mass-produced shit on a shingle that's served in coach. And the story was, even in the 70s, was always order the kosher meal and you get a better meal, right? And now today, what is it? Oh, yeah, that's always been the way. I mean, listeners, chime in and comments. The other one is similar to how you can like, okay, let's take the one that's probably a little controversial that I happen to have a strong feeling about, telling your server that you have a food allergy.
Mm-hmm. Right? Go on. Mm-hmm.
Well, like, don't do that. When you're in a restaurant and you say to somebody, let's say, for example, like, Alex, do you like pickles? I got a feeling you probably don't.
Sure.
Well, no. What's a food? No, like what's a food you just don't like across the board, like on its own in something else? Give me a food off the dome.
It is honest to God pickles. Pickles and fish, two things. Wouldn't pay me.
What if you tell your server that you have an acidic acid allergy. What is acetic acid? Do you remember from fifth grade? That is vinegar.
No.
Sleeping all night in vinegar because I am pickle. You say still the funniest line ever uttered on this show. But what if you said to your server, I have a pickle allergy. Does this have pickles on it? I go, well, yeah, it normally has pickles on it, but I can ask them to leave that off. You know, like an adult. Mm-hmm. But you go, I have a very grave allergy to pickles, and this EpiPen that I'm mysteriously tapping as though I actually have an EpiPen is in case anybody ever gives me a surprise pickle title. Okay?
And ma'am. Like it's an imaginary gun.
Yeah.
I got this pen right here.
Yeah. Or like Amy Poehler looking for her wallet, you know, waiting for Tina Fey to say, I have so many EpiPens. I'm like a Chewbacca bandolier of EpiPens because pickles are fucking everywhere. No, it's still, but like, seriously, do you understand that I will literally die if there's a pickle on my burger? Oh, so what you're telling me is that's not merely a weirdly strong preference, but you will actually die if there's, okay, well, in that case, I'll really, really tell them not to put pickles on there. And guess what? There are people like my dear friends, the Grubers, have a child with like the kind of dairy allergy that is could really make you rethink your skepticism about allergies. When Jonas got, do you know the story? When Jonas got tested,
I remember that. Yeah,
they had to go to a hospital to do that. We poke your arm with a lot of stuff thing, and I think from very early on, even these very very small amounts, the story at least from Amy Jane, who may have embellished this a little bit, was thank God we were at a hospital because the first time they put any amount of dairy into him for his test. He went into anaphylaxis, and if we had not been at a hospital with a good ED, he would have died. It's real. Like, so when you go in a restaurant and say, pickles kill me, like, you're because guess what? You think you're the first goddamn person to ever go into a place and say, I have a deathly allergy to X? You're not. Mm-hmm. And restaurants know that, and I can't prove this. This feels like pearl clutching or slippery slope fallacy, but like, I bet that ends up harming a lot of people who actually do have, like, say, a peanut allergy. Well, avoid Thai food, but how many times have you picked up a package and it says that the contents of this do not contain nuts, but, right, it was processed in a facility that does do things with nuts. Like, there are people like Jonas in the world. I've been skeptical, honestly. Like, how is there so many allergies today and there were so few allergies before, and whatever the etiology behind that is, I don't, as somebody with a chronic illness that has a strange etiology, as the father of an IBD, I can say, it's not IBS, it's a different thing. As the father of a father of an IBD, I can tell you, like, just because it don't have an etiology that people like or understand doesn't mean it's not real. And when you go into a restaurant and say pickles kill you, I have a feeling that hurts a lot of people who do have food allergies.
Yeah. Like, if the contempt that I saw for the various customer service people who have to be, because, you know, Matt could and wanted to, you know, just roll me around, but he can't do that because of, like,
COVID, supply chain.
See, God, he said I was coherent, now it's gone. Liability. Like, they need to like buckle you in and stuff.
Oh, right. Oh, like the way when you leave a hospital, they have to roll you out, whether you feel like it or not. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and the way they finally solved this, I'm just going to say that quickly, the way they finally did solve this was they were losing so much money on kosher meals that that's why they use calipers to test whether you're a Jew.
Jesus.
But continue, finish your story.
No, just...
No, not my, just, my I'm interrupting just, you. Why don't
no,
you
but,
just?
Oh my God.
Why don't you just? Did you see that picture of Catherine Hepburn I sent you?
Why don't smile more? No.
Oh,
no,
never mind.
Wait,
oh, don't get spoiled. Don't get spoiled on the dog.
Oh, okay.
Okay, right, that's Palazzo right. Pants, right?
Oh.
Look at Catherine Hepburn.
Oh, this is like a, I see. Oh, this is like a Anne from Working Moms type.
Well,
yes,
yeah, except
yes.
The 30s. Yeah. And like, and box office poison.
God.
That's what she was. They called me Howard. They called me box office poison.
I like her voice in that.
Wait, who am I sounding more like now? I might be a John Mulaney impression. A dance and I prance. Was there even a Victorian girl, Mom? Or was it just me in an XXXL shirt? just eating Triscuits with my mom, you know, because that's where we are in our relationship. So, have you ever seen a ghost? And she said, yes! I have not been this obsessed with a comedian since fucking Steve
Martin. You're not
Martin.
Supposed to think he's funny. You're not supposed to think he's funny anymore.
Oh, because of Dave Chappelle?
Oh, yeah, I forgot that too. People are
yeah. Because what part of John Mulaney's personality and every aspect of his bit makes you think he's the kind of person that would say no, Dave Chappelle? You can't walk out on stage with me.
Oh my God. Like
that, I go straight to like think about his fucking part. I think he's like that. I think he is an incredibly nervous man who used to do a lot of cocaine. And he's not in the habit of telling powerful people no.
Yeah,
Dave.
The most powerful people in Hollywood.
Dave, I know you're kind of in the shitter right now because you're whatever, blah, blah, trans people. I demand that you get on stage with me and drag down my entire growing career with some bullshit. Please, I'm begging, I'm literally on my knees begging you, Dave.
Oh,
he
God.
He takes a puff of cigarette, he goes, all right, man, I'll do it.
God, I genuinely, I know it's problematic, but as soon as I saw that,
I feel bad
for everybody involved with this. The people who did not know, like,
you know, we're not supposed to have sympathy for anybody except for the people that we like to fantasize exist in our mind.
Yeah, it like, oh my God, I can't imagine, and like the. Some of this also apparently everybody was at that like every trans person in the world was at that show.
I mean, I think I'm not saying it was a dumb decision. I would wish he had done something differently, but like
I don't think it was a decision that man made.
I think I'm ready to pump the brakes a little bit on second, third, fourth, and fifth order canceling. Let's stick to the folks that we really want to rehabilitate. You know, it's not polio. We're not like he's not that being in the same room as Dave Chappelle is not going to make him a terrible person. I'm sorry for the discomfort that caused to anybody. I'll bet if he could, John Mulaney would love to get up there and say, you know what, that was a dumb decision.
Yeah, it would have. Oh God, like I can imagine. Like it really does. It's fucking sucks. Like when you, especially in Chicago,
yeah, a lot of people just blame it on somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Other people on their podcast network. Go ahead. Okay. So first class, and for the connecting flight, if you can. So you're. Is this flying out of what? SLC, right? You're leaving.
Yes.
Wait. Salt no. Lake sorry. City. Sorry. Sorry. Wait. Am I getting
yes,
this right?
Yes. SLC. Yeah. SLC. Salt Lake City. But so arriving in O'Hare, the amount of like weird contempt for. Needing a wheelchair and like
like an eye roll and a sigh kind of thing.
Yeah, and I was like, holy shit, what must it be like for people with quote invisible disabilities? I'm like, I can't even imagine.
I'll go the even easier route, which is I finally, at my wife's extreme encouragement for years, I finally watched Crip Camp, and it's one of the highest compliments that I can pay for a movie. Apart from I really, really loved it and I think everybody should see it, is to say it is pretty much exactly what I expected, and yet I had not expected it to be so good. That's one of the highest compliments I can pay sometimes you see a movie and you're like, wow, that was not what I expected. And the other times you're like, that was exactly what I expected, and it was way more of what I expected, done better than I could have expected. Crip Camp will fucking change your game. And I'm sorry to be such a normie 55-year-old man, but fuck off.
No.
It's fucking amazing. It's an amazing movie for so many reasons. I mean, but like, can you imagine what it's like to be like one of those people... The like, you know, according to the folks in the movie, at that time anyway, the bottom of the totem pole was what? Cerebral palsy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or but cerebral palsy. But the folks who like needed like a translator for most people to be able to understand them, and they sounded simple because of this disability, but they were, they're people, they're fucking people. And like, imagine where like you wouldn't even be able to like speak for yourself. Imagine you had an aphasia. Ugh. My nightmare, getting my eyes poked out and getting an aphasia, Oh, and the other one is the Don Knotts disease. Macular degeneration. Do you know about that?
No.
Oh, that's what Don Knotts had. Alex, you ready? You ready? Ready for me to change the rest of your life in a bad way? Macular degeneration. You go blind from the center out.
Oh my God!
Think about that for a minute.
Oh my God! Oh
okay,
my
you have a
God.
Thing. You're starting to go blind. Guess what? It starts right in the middle. So there's a dot in the middle, like a target. Did I mention also it doesn't get better? So just imagine blindness starting in the middle and slowly moving out until you're fully unable to see.
Yeah.
So eye stuff, right? But imagine having that kind of profundity. But you're saying like, I guess part of it is also we're talking about a world where there's a lot of people who could use a little help. Whether that's, again, right? Accessibility helps everybody. Like my mom needs that help because she's old and because she has physical problems. And like, I don't want to have fun at her expense. Like there were times I thought where she could have walked just fine for many years, but she like wants a ride. This is the woman who rides between stores in a strip mall. But she's in a state now where she absolutely needs assistance of some kind or other. But it's just people need help with so many different kinds of things. I mean, if you were trying and were like really like what if you suddenly realized that there's a whole group of people that happen to be disabled that are like right in your wheelhouse for customer growth, right? Like they always say about baked in things, we're like, okay, we know douchebags with money are always going to travel, but like, where's your growth? How will your company grow in the next 5 years? Something that, you know, a lot of people don't think about. It's like, it isn't just like, why don't you serve me as your customer? No, dude, you were my customer. You were my customer 10 years ago. You're not my customer now. Like, if you want to be able to hot rod your own Mac at every possible level, you haven't been our customer for years. What are you complaining about? I mean, the customers we want, in many cases, haven't been born yet. But you start discovering there are aspects, there are addressable markets that are being underserviced that you could, sorry, I sound like a douche, but those are real things. Addressable market that could be serviced where you could become, ready? You could get a first mover advantage. You could be the first one that treat people with disabilities like they're fucking Cleopatra. We don't care what you got. You could have the Don Knotts thing. You could have mobility issues. You could be developmentally disabled. Like whatever it is, don't worry. Like we'll fucking figure it out. We are like a flying crip camp. And you are welcome here and can be yourself. And you can even have heavy petting with people. We're not going to bug you about it. Crip camp. Fucking rules.
It's such a good... It's also one of those documentaries that is incredibly educational and entertaining.
Well, and you approve of it, which tells me it can't be all bad. If you're going to do the documentary where it turns out the person who makes the documentary becomes part of the story, let it be crip camp. Because that guy...
Yes.
When you see that guy in 1971, he rules so fucking hard. Or like my wife, there's a reading group at her job, and she read the book by, is it Noom? Her name's Human. Was it Naomi Human? No, but you know the woman who became an activist? The woman with the glasses?
No,
they're
I don't.
Like, oh, in Crip Camp, there's the woman who's just about the main character.
Oh, sorry. Yes, yes.
Yeah, and Madeline read her biography and said it was terrific.
Oh, does she have a book club at work?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cute. I love it.
They mostly read. It started out, I think, as the anti-racist book club, but like they read a lot of stuff where, like, you know, white people could grow a little bit by getting exposure to something, and so they read books like that. That's good books.
Cool.
Not like it is really cool. It's really cool.
Not like let's go do Daniel
and
Miss, Steele.
Miss her name is, I think it's Human spelled. I want to say Heumann, but. Because I'm Germanic, but Heuman is her name. I'll get her for show notes. And then one of her, like, I want to say like a, maybe not a niece, but maybe like, I don't know the different kinds of cousin, but like somebody who is related, a younger relative of her who happens to also work at UC, was in the group and they didn't know it. And she didn't talk about it until the last episode of the book club. But she talked about being related to her and knowing her and like, you know, anyway, that's all. Crip camp, flying crip camp. Cool. Would you capture that? That'd be great for us. We should do that. We should talk to your problematic boyfriend. He could probably spin that up in no time. Why don't you just make a crip camp that flies? Why don't you just do that? Why haven't you just created a flying crip camp?
Well, because then he'd be a pedophile, and he only likes going underground. No.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying he doesn't like to go downtown. He goes underground. He'll send a sub to get some boys. Or maybe he'll buy subs for the boys.
Yes.
Maybe you get Subway, and then you get in my van, get my electric van, The windows won't break. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. You can't get out of here. It's locked mm-hmm. from the inside. And I'm going to yes. keep you away from all the pedos.
To the moon.
To the moon, Alice. I hear you. Are we done? Are we anywhere near done? When will we be done?
We got to be done.
Hand salad.
I did not eat salad with my hands because I also don't, my hands are bruised. And
okay, start thinking about something funny. I did eat hand salad because I always eat hand salad. And yes. here's the things that I learned.
Wait, Merlin, can you quickly explain what is hand salad?
Challenge. The challenge this week is to eat hand salad. And the thing is, I've discovered that historically, especially when I'm cleaning up or especially when I'm a child, I like to eat leftovers with my hands, regardless of whether that's appropriate. And I'm not going to apologize for that. You know, I'm sorry, but I do. I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize. I like hand salad. And the reason this occurred to me was that I was dealing with leftovers a few weeks ago. And I was just thinking about how much I enjoy eating salad with my hands and I'd like to do it more. And here's what I've learned. What I've learned is I still like doing it a lot. Now, I think if I were going to go deeper on this challenge and I didn't have time to do this, is that I would like to create a from scratch salad concept that is for eating with your hands.
Oh.
So imagine if it's something like, this word's so great, crudité, right? So you go to a party and there's cut up celery and carrots and you can dip it in dip. Imagine that you said, well, what if that was a whole salad? What if, and not just fucking like shitty bridge club crudité. I'm talking, you bring in some toilet olives, you bring in all the things that you enjoy, but things that you can eat with your hands. Do you remember that episode, the greatest episode ever of Community? Remember the
yes,
one?
Yes.
You know, you're creating six different timelines, Jeff.
Something for the funny.
And so, no, but I'm talking about cut up all the fixins. I'm talking about, you got, but like, here's the thing. Think about this. You ever have a wedge salad? You get a wedge of iceberg covered with blue cheese dressing, fucking balls up. That shit is good. What if instead I give you a quarter of a lettuce? Okay. All right. You ever get like Korean soup where you put it in that wet sauce and you heat it up and you make like a soup on the fly? Same idea here. You know, what's called a Korean barbecue, right? Like where they give you a bunch of stuff and then you make your own meal like a cuck. Same thing here. You're going to get a big plate, all the fixins, and it's all going to be hand forward salad ingredients. So a quarter of a wedge of lettuce that you can eat like a hand fruit.
Oh, like a bread bowl, but
it could,
like,
you know what? We, if you want that, as long as you don't have any allergies to lettuce, we could scoop that out and put all your salad fixins in there. You know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a healthy option, which is going to be you come out to San Francisco, or as I call it, Frisco. I'm going to give you a salad bowl. Jesus. Well, what's that? A salad bowl is where we take a bunch of iceberg lettuce and we fill it with delicious clam chowder. And you come out here and then you wear the bread as a hat. Anyway, and the idea would be it's like a personal crudité meets Korean barbecue. I don't see soup colors.
I could make a joke about how we just limped to the end.
And with that, they finished recording the greatest episode of... If you don't like this episode, you can fuck right off. Because this is what it's all about. The Hokey Pokey, bitch. Look it up.